From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. A company is made up of teams. And while teams do separate work, they're supposed to work together towards a shared vision. And I'm not telling you something here that you don't already know, of course. Collaboration is the key to any operation.
That's even truer at a scrappy startup. So when a divide develops between employees and departments at a company that's still finding its identity, well, it can be an early death sentence.
That's Stephanie Schomer, senior editor at Entrepreneur. And she's right. A team that's not united on mission and execution can bring down an entire company before it even gets off the ground. Which is why, as soon as a founder sees this divide growing, she's got to get everyone on the same page. Stephanie is the story of an entrepreneur who faced this very problem, and she admits contributed to it herself, which means there was a lot of fixing to do. Steph is going to take the story from here.
The entrepreneur's name is Jenny Bake, and she's the co-founder and CEO of Orchard Mile. Orchard Mile is an online marketplace that partners with luxury brands to create a shopping experience that feels like a personalized digital mall for consumers. It's a tech-first company with a lot of proprietary technology, but user experience is imperative to its success. And therein lies the problem. Jenny and her co-founders shared a business-minded vision for the brand, empowered by technology, but their tech team, they saw technology as the first priority. Customer experience would come later.
So getting folks to come together and really craft the process that achieves both of their goals was the main issue.
That's Jenny. And as CEO, getting folks to come together fell on her shoulders. And getting comfortable with being the kind of boss that says things like, "The buck stops here," was its own kind of learning curve. But she did learn, and today, Orchard Mile is beloved by the 150 brand partners who sell on the platform, achieving conversion rates 7 times the industry average. But in 2014, the business team and the tech team were warring, as were Jenny and her CTO. Decisions weren't being made, features weren't being implemented, and the culture was taking a potentially toxic turn. How did Jenny unite the staff and find her voice as a leader? We'll break it down after the break.
If you run a small business, you know there is nothing small about it. Dell's Small Business Technology Advisors are here to help with solutions tailored to your business. Get the latest technology, like Dell laptops with Intel Core processors. Plus, with free shipping and a price match guarantee, you know you're always getting the best deals. Talk to a Dell Small Business Advisor today at 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL. And now, our second sponsor. Here is a crazy statistic. More than 1/4 of Americans say that they'd start their own business in the next year if they could. But only a fraction of those actually do it. Why? Well, because taking the leap can be scary. Luckily, there's Weebly. Weebly is the easiest way to create an incredible looking website. But more importantly, it comes with a whole bunch of tools to help you sell your products, process payment, manage inventory, create marketing campaigns, and grow your brand. And because Weebly's mission is to help turn people's great ideas into successful businesses, they've built an incredible support team. If you have a question, just pick up the phone to talk to a customer success expert. No scripts, no robots, just a friendly human who can help you do what needs doing. So if you've got a product or idea that you want to share with the world, check out Weebly. You can have a beautiful, powerful online store up and running in a matter of hours. And because you listen to this podcast right here, you can visit Weebly.com/solvers, Weebly.com/solvers, and get 15% off your first purchase. Don't just build a beautiful website, build a successful online business with Weebly.
Welcome back. Before we get into how Jenny and her co-founders saved Orchard Mile from a disjointed staff, let's learn where that disjointed staff even came from. Jenny never planned to launch a fashion startup. In fact, she specifically wanted to avoid both fashion and startups. Why? Well, she dabbled in both. After 2 years on Wall Street, Jenny helped her friend, Matthew Ernest, launch his fashion brand. They got good press, they even showed at New York Fashion Week. But fashion is a tough business, and a fashion startup is even tougher. After 2 years, Jenny had had enough.
And I started to realize I had no idea what I was doing in terms of running a business.
But she wanted to know more. So she enrolled in Harvard Business School, graduated in 2008, spent a few years at advertising conglomerate Omnicom Group, and was lured back into the fashion world when Burberry came calling, wanting her to run strategy in the Americas. She hadn't quite recovered from her previous fashion industry experience, but this was in 2012, when Burberry was enjoying a tech-focused renaissance, shaking up the industry with digital-first initiatives. Jenny signed on, and the years that followed were an intense training ground, a lesson in innovation, and an eye-opening experience that got her thinking about how many fashion brands were really struggling to find their place in the internet age.
Every retail conference, Stephanie, that I attend is talking about, just talking about, the things that Burberry was trying to execute more than 8 years ago.
The longer she stayed at Burberry, she couldn't stop thinking about how, other than her own employer, brands were really having a hard time figuring out how to drive traffic to their own websites. Fashion consumers weren't really used to that. If they wanted to shop, they'd go to a department store website or a Net-a-Porter, not the website of the designer that they cared about. But what if there were a way to create a middle ground, Jenny wondered.
I actually got really obsessed with the idea of marketplaces, because really the crux of how and what a store is in today's world is can be very, very different than what it was in the past. So today you can have the biggest store in the world and you don't even have to buy any inventory.
What she's talking about here is a digital platform for designers. It would be a place where designers could sell their stuff, consumers could come, browse, and eventually they could customize the experience by selecting only the designers they actually care about. But another question lingered. If Jenny built something like this, how would she attract brands? And how would those brands attract consumers? Jenny stumbled upon the answer when she met Giorgi Benedetti at a networking dinner. Benedetti, who would ultimately become her co-founder, Orchard Mile, had been working on a universal cart for e-commerce. Julia LeClaire was also at this dinner and would become Orchard Mile's third co-founder. And this got Jenny really excited because these three women, they were totally different.
We were looking at the same problem, but in different avenues, really, and how to attack that same problem. And we all brought completely different skill sets to the table. So one of the most common questions I often get asked is, should you get a co-founder that thinks like you, you know, that operates like you, or someone who thinks very, very differently? And at the time, and I continue to think today, you should actually find someone who brings completely different skill sets to the table and actually disagrees with you more often than they agree with you, because it's this kind of challenge and intellectual kind of curiosity that's going to keep the team moving and keep it better, although it's sometimes very, very uncomfortable.
It's a great idea in theory, though Jenny admits that in practice, it wasn't quite as easy as it sounded. It took a lot of diplomacy to find their rhythm as partners. Communicating differences of opinion to people who were essentially strangers took a bit of finesse and fast understanding. But the trio developed a commitment to brutal honesty, and that pushed the startup forward. They incorporated in November of 2014 and spent the next year in stealth mode. They hired a CTO, a head of business development, and created a platform that was so easy to use, brands could open up shop, so to speak, on Orchard Mile in just a matter of days. All they needed to give Orchard Mile was access to their product list or collection. The Orchard Mile team felt fantastic about what they'd accomplished in just a year, but they still had a hurdle to overcome: getting brands to partner with them.
I can't even tell you how hard it is to convince brands to sign on to a platform that has no digital footprint ever.
But they persisted, and they finally got a bite. A big one.
One of my favorite stories that I love to tell is when we went to go pitch to Oscar Lorenzo, which was one of our first 30 brands to sign on to the platform. And we were sitting right across the table from Oscar Lorenzo's CEO, obviously a very storied brand, somewhat conservative, but really thinking about digital in new ways. And Alex Bolin, you know, was very, very hesitant. He wasn't sure. He had had probably 100 marketplaces come through the door and pitch him. But really, we had scraped. We had basically onboarded his site ahead of time. And we were placing orders in the middle of the meeting. And really, he was just amazed and said, wow, how are you guys doing this? This really is zero work.
So once Oscar signed on, then I'm assuming that the floodgates opened up a little bit. I have to imagine that was just like hugely helpful.
It was hugely helpful, but no, the floodgates did not open. So it is still, you know, nose to the grindstone. We have a wonderful, my co-founder, actually, Julia, who runs business development now, was really instrumental in convincing brands over many, many meetings. Sometimes it takes as many as 5 meetings. Sometimes it takes 1, but sometimes it takes 5 over 2 years to basically convince a brand that Orchard Mile is the right place for them.
Once they got a brand's attention, though, selling the platform became increasingly easy. Orchard Mile is relatively low risk. Once a brand is on the platform, it's essentially zero work for the designer. The platform operates as a revenue share. Anytime a product is sold, Orchard Mile gets a small cut. If there's a return, Orchard Mile eats the cost. Eventually, the team had signed their first 30 brands and were officially in business. But despite the long, slow road they took to get there, the real challenges were just about to start. When the company was originally founded, Jenny explains, they inherited their CTO from one of her co-founders' previous projects. Initially, Jenny relished having a CTO who had historical knowledge of the developing brand and visions. But quickly, it became clear that his vision did not align with hers.
It was not a historical relationship for me. And so really getting that trust level going and having that conversation be completely candid, and this is our vision, and getting on the same page with the vision, was a challenge.
The problem came down to something that, no doubt, a number of you may have experienced yourself. The tech team wanted to focus on technology first, the actual function of the site, plain and simple. The design flourishes and details, those bells and whistles that appeal to a high-end brand and customer, would come later. The business side of the company, however, was thinking holistically. The bells and whistles are what will ultimately sell the product to luxury companies, so those need to be as much of a priority as function. It was a massive chicken-egg disagreement, one that seemingly no one could reconcile.
And for us, there were two things that were difficult in this conversation, in very, I think, candid examples. One of them is that when you're trying to create a marketplace, oftentimes you start with a supplier set, which in our case happened to be some of the best premium and luxury brands in the world. And that means creating a first-generation product that is actually an MVP that is beautiful and aesthetically pleasing in order to get those brands to sign on. Because if they don't have trust that your business team understands what they're doing and understands the consumer they're trying to attract, that's very difficult. But of course, when you read the startup, the tech team is basically saying to us, you know, why is it so necessary that the MVP is beautiful? That doesn't make any sense. That is not, you know, the real nature of a tech product. You have to build it over time and test it over time. Let's worry about the front end later, and let's just build something that works in the very beginning. So balancing the two and trying to create an environment where both sides are listened to is absolutely a challenge.
When her CTO wouldn't listen to her concerns, she hoped he'd listen to their customers.
One of the ways we attacked that was inviting the CTO to the brand meetings and having him see that sometimes the MVP that wasn't beautiful immediately got rejected.
That didn't quite clear the air. Pushback from the team just took different forms, and Jenny found herself and her employees wasting time, something that's always in short supply at a startup.
Tech folks think that everything needs to be tested, which generally is true, but I found myself having a conversation that was completely pointless about, should the shopping cart be in the top right corner of the homepage? And, you know, that is generally convention. But when you're arguing about the nits of convention to folks who are overly focused on the how, it becomes a very, very frustrating conversation at times.
That's when she had a realization. This company didn't have a problem with differing visions. They really had a communication problem. And it wasn't because people weren't voicing their opinions. In fact, everyone was voicing their opinions.
No one on our team, unfortunately, is shy. So when we got together and had a big meeting, you know, everyone is so passionate, and the environment is completely electrified by wonderful ideas. But one of the things that is very, very similar from big companies to small companies is that sometimes the most passionate and the loudest voices in the room get their ideas get adopted more often than not.
She knew it was up to her to be more intentional and clear about why and how an idea was being adopted. And that meant being a bit more forceful and letting people know who's boss.
I've had a lot of different jobs, and I have managed a lot of different teams. And sometimes people have said that I am very good at it. But this was a completely steep learning curve for me in trying to manage this conversation and this process.
Jenny took on the uncomfortable task that every leader faces, telling your team no. Telling your team you appreciate their ideas, but you're just not going to execute them. Telling your team that you are the boss. You make the final calls.
At the end of the day, what we need to realize in every team is that there should only be one boss. And consensus-based decision-making has been a trend in most organizations for a very, very long time. Everyone has their voice, et cetera, et cetera. But really what it comes down to is that the buck needs to stop at some place. And oftentimes those calls need to be made by a singular person, and that is the CEO.
Her first order of business? Sitting the CTO down for a serious conversation about his role at the company. She told him that he should no longer be CTO. As long as he and she could not get on the same page, and his team of engineers remained loyal to him and aligned with his vision for the company, there would be no forward motion. So the CTO left, as did about half the tech team.
So this was a pretty difficult process to go through, and it took about more than 6 months to right the ship.
Jenny needed new engineers, and she was now managing a tech team as a non-tech person. But as the pieces came together, she and the rest of her team felt more comfortable executing her vision. And that CTO? Well, that brutally honest conversation allowed him to exit the company on good terms with Jenny and the rest of the leadership team. And a few months later, he started working for them again, this time on contract and as a recruiter, helping Jenny hire tech talent that fits Orchard Mile, both in terms of talent and culture.
So he was actually always, he always mentioned in the very beginning that his talent for recruitment was actually one of the best things about him. And I actually agree with that because tech talent is very, very hard to find. Mm-hmm. And he's a wonderful recruiter and identifier of talent. And so for us, the relationship, you know, you have to end it on a fair note. It might not be a good note. There's always acrimonious kind of feelings on both sides, but that fades over time. And you start to say, listen, how can we continue to speak well of each other? It's a willingness to say, we might not have been able to work together, but I respect certain skill sets that you have. And I think potentially in that context, we can work together again.
She also brought in a project manager, someone who's helping improve communication across the company and make sure both business and tech objectives are being met, which frees Jenny up to focus on big picture thinking. The company's growing fast, and more than 10,000 customers have built their own unique, personalized digital shopping mall, many of whom log on to shop daily. And while Jenny probably would have liked to skip the 6 months of tough communications and disagreements, she knows the company's better off having suffered through that growing pain.
True. And if we wouldn't have had this experience, I would say we would have been in a much worse and slower state today in terms of communication and processes.
Even better, she knows the mistakes will not be repeated. She's prepared to stand firm in her role as CEO, and she knows how to listen to her team, manage them, and make a change when it's needed.
Have to agree on a singular person who is going to make the final call. It's not always the same person every time, but it is one person. You have to have someone who's willing to see other people's POV while taking up accountability and also who's willing to give control. And thirdly, and probably most importantly, that bad feelings are contagious. So it's best to make an early call about fit rather than trying to keep doggedly working at the relationship like I did. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's best to give up early and part way.
Strong leadership, clear communication, and quick, intentional decisions, that's what will bring all of the teams together. Or, if not, replace one team with another that's ready to follow the leader.
And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonfeifer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N-F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Feifer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, jasonfeifer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.